On chapter number 15. Heard some of the best preaching that I've listened to anywhere, anytime. During the revival last week, you know, Monday through Wednesday night, and four different preachers, Donnie White, Gary Rowlett, and Lee, and Roger Ball. Each one of them preached a sermon, and four as good a sermons as I've ever heard. And I appreciate them. The revival was a great revival, and we just appreciate all the folks who attended and all the good that was done. And only heaven will tell what good has been done in the revival. Old preacher back some years ago, and he'd had a revival in his church, and he met a fellow preacher on the street one day and said, "Brother," said, "how many did you have saved in your revival?" He said, "Well, I can't tell you right now, but if you'll come back in about 6 months, I'll tell you." So, you know, you don't judge the results by the night the revival closes. You look what happens down the road. You get people revived, they go to work, get things done, you see. And so the Lord knows how to send revivals and knows what we need always. So I appreciate the revival meeting this past week. Stand with me, if you will, as we read the first five verses of John chapter 15. Beautiful passage of Scripture. And Jesus begins in this passage by saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to be in the Lord's house today, and thank you for every person that's come this way. And I just pray that your blessing would be upon us, Lord, as we give out the Lord's message, that you'll help us to say the very things that I need to say, God, that it might bring honor and glory to your precious and holy name. And pray, Father, that you'd speak to hearts, and Lord, especially for those who may not know the Lord as their Savior, that you would touch their souls, God, by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, and they would turn to the Lord and be saved. Or that person who is not living like they should, that Christian maybe that's out of the will of God and knows they're out of the will of God and know they're not living right. And Lord, would you just speak to that heart and just speak to our own hearts, Lord, and as we worship you in spirit and in truth, and would just you use your servant to deliver your message and to bring the work of God about in this service today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Notice in the first words of verse number 1 of chapter 15 that Jesus says, "I am the true vine." The term "I am" is used a number of times in the Bible and in John, and I want to share just a few of those things with you. Back in the book of Exodus in chapter number 3, Moses was instructed to go down and talk to the people in the land of Egypt, and also to talk to Pharaoh about bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And Moses made excuses when he was in the distant land about why he couldn't go and get this work done, but the Lord told him that he could. And Moses asked him in verse number 13, he says, and Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, that you shall, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." God said moreover to Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So the Lord told Moses, says, you just go down and tell them that I am, has sent you. And that term means that I am now, I was yesterday, I am tomorrow. I have always been, I will always be. You can count on that. That's the Lord. The Lord's plans will never fail. God's promises will never cease. And God's program does not have to be propped up by me, nor anybody else. God is working, and God is still working today. And so Moses, he got that instruction from God. Moses didn't get the answer that he was looking for, but he got the answer that he needed. Moses didn't want to go. It seems logical to me. Well, when the Lord says it's right, it's always right. But just from the standpoint of logic, it seems all right to me. Moses was a Hebrew biologically by birth. He was a Hebrew by birth, and he was a Pharaoh's son by the process, a grandson rather, by the process of adoption. Man alive, you know, my grandson is mighty important to me. But Moses said, Lord, I can't go down there. I can't talk. I can't talk to them people. And the Lord said, well, you'll be all right. But anyhow, he let him know who he was and what his name was. I am that I am. Here he says, I am the true vine. Several times in the book of John, that term is used. John uses it in chapter 6 and verse number 35. He says here, I am the bread of life. If you notice in this chapter here that they're talking about the manna. The people told Jesus, says that Moses gave us manna in this wilderness. But Jesus says that wasn't the true bread from heaven. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So he says, I am the bread of life. You have the Lord, you have eternal life. And you can't get that from Kearns or whatever else that comes along. Kearns don't even exist anymore. Oh, man. But whatever kind of bread, it doesn't really matter. You eat of that bread, you got to have some more. You're going to get mighty weak. But this bread satisfies that hunger, and that water of life satisfies the thirst. And then Jesus says in chapter number 8 and verse number 12, that he's the light. He says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, in the first part of this chapter, they bring the woman that was taken in the act of adultery, and Jesus didn't answer their question very much. He just wrote on the ground and told them people, said, if you don't have sin in your life, it's okay for you to go ahead and throw a stone at this person here. It's all right. He says that's what Moses said, and that was the punishment for sin. In Moses' day was a person that was committed adultery, that they died because of their sin. But the Lord says if you're sinless, you throw a stone. That's all he said. Stooped back down and started writing on the ground again. And they all got convicted and left. And the Lord says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You fellows know better than that. We all know better, but sometimes we don't do better. They knew better than that. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it's adultery or murder or whatever else you want to put in. It doesn't make any difference. Gossip, lying, a busybody, all of these things come under that same category of S-I-N. Sin is sin. And you know, we're not down here to destroy the sin. Hey, Jesus didn't intend for them to kill that woman. He says, I'm not going to condemn you. And that doesn't mean that he put approval on her adultery. It meant that he wasn't going to condemn her to be stoned. That's all right. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy men, but to save them. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he says, I am the light of the world. Then he says, I'm the door. In chapter number 10 of John, verses 7 through 9, he talks about this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. He's talking about the sheepfold here in the earlier part of this chapter. So he says, I'm the door to that sheepfold. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus says, I'm the door to the sheepfold. You come in by me, and anybody that wants to come in can come in. They're invited. Nobody is turned away. When you go soul winning, you don't have to ask that people who you are, what you are, where you're from, nothing about that. You don't need that. We can get that message, and all of them need to hear that message. All of them need to hear that message. So he's the door to the sheepfold. If you're in God's family, you've got to come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get in. That's the only way. You say, but preacher, I'm doing pretty good. You're not doing good enough. And you can't do good enough. There's no way that we can do good enough. Jesus is the way. He's the way. And so he's the door. And he also says in that same chapter, beginning with verse number 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says a hireling won't do this. The good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. People that are dedicated to folks. They love them. They care about them. You'd stand up for your family. You'd stand up for them. Jesus gave his life for me and you. He gave everything he had for us. He gave the last drop of blood that he had in his body. Gave his life freely. Gave that. He said, "I'm the good shepherd." He can claim that title. That title. But a hireling won't do that. A hireling will run when the wolf comes, but not the shepherd. David says when he went to fight against Goliath, Saul says, David, you can't fight against this man. He's a giant. And David says, I was taking care of dad's sheep back home. And he said, a bear come in and took a lamb out for a meal and said, I took the lamb away from him. And when the bear turned on me, I killed him. And he said, a lion decided to do the same thing, took the lamb away from the lion, and it killed the lion. And he says, the same God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Hey, he said, I'm the shepherd. I've got a responsibility. He says, that man, even though he's a giant, he's got no business bad-mouthing my God. Somebody needs to take him down a couple of notches. And I tell you, David done that work. So the Lord says here, he says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. David went out there and put his hand his life in the hand of God to go out and fight against that giant. He said, I'm going in the name of the Lord. Giant said, I'm going to tear you limb from limb and feed you to the fowls of the air. He says, you come to me with a spear, with a sword, and a shield, and I come unto you in the name of the Lord God, and I'm going to cut your head off today. I'm going to destroy your life. And these people are going to know that there's a God in Israel. I'll tell you, well, that's what it's all about, is that people can see God. You don't need to see me. You need to see the God that saved me, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever I do. So Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And then on over in another chapter, chapter number 11, he talks about that I am the resurrection. In verse number 25, you remember Lazarus had died. Martha come out and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, well, Martha, he says, your brother's going to live again. She said, Lord, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection of the last day. Well, he said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. You say, preacher, you have a problem believing that? Not a bit. Not a bit. You have a problem explaining it? Perhaps I have problems explaining it, but not believing it. The Lord, a lot of things I don't understand. I don't know how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk, and how you can churn that milk and make yellow butter out of it. I don't understand that process either, but I'm not going to do without milk and butter because I don't understand it. If I can get a hold of it, I don't need it, but I sure do like it. But I believe this. God, so Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe this, Martha? She said, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ. I believe that you're the Son of God. I'm satisfied with that you're going to take care of everything. And a few minutes, their brother got up out of the grave, and the Lord's coming back one of these days, and every person that's lived on this earth is going to get a different body, going to have a resurrected body, every person that lives on this earth. So he said, I am the resurrection. And the life. And then also in chapter 14, Jesus is talking here about that I am the way. In verse number 6 of chapter 14 of John, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was answering the question that Thomas had. Thomas had a lot of questions, bless his heart. He had a lot of questions. Jesus said, whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going, and how can we know the way? You've leaving us in the dark. I don't understand that. Jesus said, Thomas, I'm the way. Follow me. That's the way to get to heaven, is follow the Lord. You know, I'm pretty good at buying stuff that you have to put together. And when I go to stores and buying something other that has to be put together, I don't get around to reading the instructions most of the time until I've put it together at least once, partially. You know, but that's not the way to do it. What you need is, if you want to know how to put it together, is get those instructions and read those instructions and follow them. You can do it now or do it later. In my case, I do it later most of the time. But that's not smart, and I've not learned that. I still can't. You know, I bought a new wheelbarrow the other day. I had one out here, and I needed one in the house. And you know, I just couldn't stand to see Mildred carrying all of that stuff, you know, down there for the people to pick up when they come by, and I went up there and I looked, and it looked like they charged me an extra $10 for putting it together, you know. And I thought, boy, I'm going to take that back. I didn't see that on that deal. I thought, no, you it wasn't put together. You'd had a handle on upside down, you know, so just leave it alone, you know, and let him put it together. Follow me is what Jesus says. He says, I'm the way to heaven. Just follow the Lord. Follow the instruction. Follow the instruction. The Bible, you say, preacher, I don't understand Revelation. Well, that doesn't matter whether you understand Revelation or not as far as going to heaven. I'm honest about it. I don't know of a single verse in the book of Revelation that you have to understand to go to heaven. There's a lot of verses in there that's explained to other places in the Bible. You know, that's where people want to start. They talk about, what about the unpardonable sin? Well, if you're concerned about getting right with God, you probably not committed the unpardonable sin. It's not important that you understand that. It's important that you understand that Jesus loves you, that he's the way to heaven, that he's the resurrection, and all these other things that he talks about. It's important that you understand that you're in the Lord, that you have the Lord living in you and you live in him. And then we get back to the verse, the passage that I read here from John chapter number 15, a beautiful passage, where Jesus said in verse number 1, I am the true vine. That word true means genuine. He says, I'm the true vine. I'm the genuine vine. I'm the way. All of these other things, Jesus says, I'm fulfilling this. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, that word husbandman can mean a farmer or a lot of other things, but here he's talking about the gardener. He says, I'm the true vine. I'm the one that came and died on the cross and going to die on the cross. And he says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or he's the gardener. And he takes care of things. I come to do the work that my Father sent me to do. My Father sent me down in this world, Jesus says, to give my life on an old rugged cross. And I'm going there in a few days, he said. And I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. That's where he comes. That's the way that God fixed it in the beginning. And the Father and the Holy Spirit was all present. They decided in that day. And Jesus says, I'll be the sacrifice for the sins. It was decided. And Jesus says, I've come to do my part. And I'm the true vine. You cannot deny me and get to heaven. You cannot live without me. You cannot bear fruit without you're in me. The Holy Spirit's going to do His work, and God's going to do His work as well. But He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, He takes care of these things, and it all works together. He's the gardener. And then He talks about the branch. Now, you have the tree or the vine, as it says here, and then you have the branches. And He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes it away. Sometimes people misunderstand me and other preachers that preach when we talk about the people, the fruit that they bear, the kind of life that they live. And they say, preacher, you're preaching works for salvation. No, I'm not. I'm preaching works, the result of salvation. James says, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. The tree, the vine. Notice that He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, my Father takes it away. I've seen where they prune trees and maybe an apple tree with a limb that big around. And I picked some apples in days gone by, and when I lived up in Marion, I'd usually pick apples in the fall there in Bonham's Orchards. And you could pick sometime with a tree that big would have a bushel of apples on it. I've seen trees that big where they've taken a chainsaw and cut them off slick as a ribbon. You say, preacher, why did they do that? They were hindering the fruit production. That's what that was. A dead limb will hinder the tree. And God says, you can't be like that. He says, when you get to the place that you don't bear fruit, then you're dead, and my Father is going to cut you off, going to take you out. And that's what God says. He says, the branch is in there. He said, He's the one that does the pruning. Not me, He says, He does that. And then He says, every branch in me, every branch that beareth fruit, He purges. And that word purging is pruning it. He prunes it. He takes off the limbs that's not to be there. Water sprouts. We've got a crabapple tree over there at the house, so you know why I'm so sour on Monday morning. Go right by that tree or right near that tree to get in my truck to leave. And they get about as big as marbles. And I trimmed it this year, really, really trimmed it. It's got a few little limbs on some of those water sprouts that I missed, didn't I, Mildred? And it's got a few little limbs on that, and all the rest there's a stub. And by the way, it matches the rest of the trees in my yard. You know, I'm kind of like these fellas, you know, Mildred was talking about last night. Somebody on TV said, look at that man. Said he's got a head full of hair and shaved his head slick as a ribbon. Oh, man, that's what I do to my trees once in a while. You prune those trees. I hope they don't die. And some of them I'm really not too concerned about, but anyhow. But, I didn't intend to kill them. But you can prune the tree. And you can prune the branch without taking the branch out of the tree. But the branches is where the fruit is. But He says, my Father purges or prunes that. That's what happens when we go to church, when we hear the Word of God preached, when we hear it taught, when we open our Bible and we read in there, and we look for the truths. When we look for the truths, and God uses that truth to trim us up, to get rid of that dead limbs, to get rid of that dead wood. You don't need dead wood in a tree. You need to get it out. If it's dead, get it out. It's not any good. And by the way, it'll hinder the rest of the tree. It'll hinder the rest of the tree. But He says the branches that bear fruit, he prunes them that they may bring forth more fruit. And then He says in verse number 3, He says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. The Lord has pruned you, got you ready to go to work. And then He says, abide in me. Look at that verse there, verse number 4. Abide in me. That word abide means to stay, to stick in there, to abide in me and I in you. Have a relationship with God. You can be buried to a spouse and not have a relationship unless it's a two-way love affair. Really. That's the way it works. You see, God loves me, whether I love him or not. God loves you. If you wouldn't give God the time of day, God still loves you. The world that blasphemes the name of the Lord, God still loves those people. But there's no relationship there because that person doesn't love the Lord back. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The Lord is saying, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. When you cut that branch off from the tree, it doesn't bear any more fruit. I mean, it dies. It don't bear any more fruit, you see. And he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. If we're going to bear fruit, you say, preacher, I don't know what we ought to do. I know what we ought to do. We ought to make sure that we follow the teaching of the Bible and day by day that we talk to our Heavenly Father and find out what he's got on the agenda for us to do. And do it, and we'll see people come to the Lord. You say, preacher, it won't work. Oh, yes, it always has worked. They said, well, what about people now? We've got lazy and sorry. That's what we've done. Animals have took our prayer places. Dust bunnies have covered up our prayer places, and we don't have time to go pray anymore. We don't have time to call on God. We got too many things going. We got too many activities. And by the way, we got a lot of activities in the church that I think that we'd be better off to turn some of them perhaps into prayer meetings and we see more results. We need to see results that reach out to people and bring conviction to their heart. And we can't do it unless we're in the Lord. God gave his son. His son gave his life to save the world. But we don't have time to tell people that Jesus loves them. And sometimes when we try, we get a lot of hindrances. And that don't mean that everybody we talk to about the Lord is going to get saved. Shannon asked me the other day to see a guy out the hospital. Like, I never got around when he was awake, but I got to talk to him sometime the latter part of the week, and he was awake and talked to him a good long while, and very nice fellow, very, very, very sick man, but a very nice guy, and I talked to him and tried to help him get right with the Lord. He didn't get saved that day, but he promised me he's going to keep on praying, and if he will, he'll get right, that's for sure. If he will. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. But we have to stay in the will of God. We have to stay in the Lord, you see. And he says, the branch can't bear fruit except it abide in me. He said, I am the vine and you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The fact is that we need the Lord in our lives. We need him to direct us day by day. And Jesus says, I am the vine. If you want to bear fruit, you have to stay in the Lord. If you're not in the Lord, you got to get in there. If your life doesn't measure up to par, you need to do something about it today. You need, and you understand exactly where you stand, where you are, and if there's a problem in your life, you need to get it taken care of today. You need to make sure. If you've never been saved, you need to get right with God. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if the time is right. Today is the day of salvation. The scripture says, now remember, when you abide in the Lord, you abide in the Word. The Bible talks to us about the Lord. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they. And he was talking even about the Old Testament scriptures, and they are they that testify of me, testify of Jesus coming into this world. You abide in the Lord, you abide in his word. You find the instruction in here how to live. You don't have to pray and find out, Lord, am I supposed to do this? Is this wrong or that wrong? Look in the book. Look in the book and find out what it says about that. And that's the plan that God has given us. And if we abide in the Word, we're going to bear fruit. He says we would bear fruit if we abide in the vine. And God's not gone out of business, folks. He's still on the throne and he's still in control. And we need to make sure that we're in him. Are you in the Lord? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to live for him? Are you ready to go see him? Do you know that your heart's right with God? Do you know that you're living in the will of the Lord, that you're where God wants you to be, and you're doing the things that God wants you to do? Do you know that? Do you know that that your name is written in the book of life? Preacher told this lady one time we was visiting, and she didn't give the preacher much answer about being saved. And he asked her, he said, "Lady, are you married?" She said, "Yes, sir, I'm married." And he asked her again, he said, "Are you sure?" And by this time she was ready to, you know what? She said, "Yes, sir, I know I'm married." He said, "Well, lady, you ought to be as sure that you're saved as you are that you're married." I wouldn't fault that man for that. That's a truth. You ought to make sure. "Abide in me," the Lord says, "and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit." No wonder that things get tough. No wonder the world's in the mess that it's in. Oh, my, we need to be in the Lord, and you listen to him. Brother Omer, would you come and sing us a song, please? "I Am, the Great I Am." Oh, my. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." All of that's in the Lord, and all of it is free for the taking if you just receive him. Heavenly Father, would you speak to hearts in this invitation and work your precious will? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing together?
275.
Page number 275. On the first verse, come if you will, as we sing.
Just as I am.
Sing one more, will you, Omer?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood